Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Odyssey Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
Aboard! You're on the crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome to the Wacky Walleye Cutting Edge Outdoors Show. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Well, how's everybody doing this morning?
I know I'm doing okay. I hope you are. But anyway, we come to you every Saturday morning here on the Wacky Walleye's Cutting Edge Outdoors from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. And if you want to be a part of the show, all you got to do is give us a call with your questions and comments at 414-799-1250. Or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. He's Danny Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer, and we got Sam Schmitz on the board. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Is everybody wide awake this morning?
No.
No. I know.
Anything else you got to know?
No, that's about it, I guess.
That's it. Just, you know, Sam is
awake.
Sam is the one who has to get up earliest. He's the one who has to have all the technical equipment ready in the studio. Plus, he probably worked till 2 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. I'm awake. I feel awake. But, like, at the same time, I'm catching up. We just finished our 24-hour Toy Drive Live broadcast. So, I may be a little catching up from sleep and all that. So, bear with me. We'll get through it.
Yeah, you'll get through it. Yeah.
So the toy drive, now, in the past, I've driven out to Fleet Farm and dropped off a donation out there. I wasn't listening, I hate to admit, this year. So how did they work the toy drive this year with COVID and everything?
So we did, obviously, we still did cash donations like we did last year, which we did, like, from our website for Children's Hospital. But then I myself, along with Sparky, we were dropping off boxes at fire stations for, like, you know, toys and all that, if you want to just drop it off. And that's still actually going on. So the cash donation part is over, which ended around 6 p.m. yesterday. But if you want, if you're out there listening right now and you still want to drop off toys, just go to our website, go to 1250amthefan.com, click that first store, and you'll see a list of, like, 15 fire stations that you guys can drop off toys all the way through Sunday.
Okay. Are they all in Milwaukee, or how about in any of the outlying areas like Waukesha? And
yeah, it's mostly in everywhere like southern Wisconsin. I mean, I dropped off a bunch of them in, I think, like, Greenfield, you know, obviously Greenfield right around here, Wauwatosa, Menominee Falls. So, yeah, I mean, majority of the places in right around here in Milwaukee.
So, like, do you and Sparky need help picking up any of the boxes? I got a truck.
I don't know. We haven't. I haven't heard anything from Sparky, so I guess we'll figure it out. But I will keep it in mind, I guess.
Yeah. If you guys need some help, I'm glad to help you out with
that. I was using the station vehicle to drop them off, so we got those if we need it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're young and strong, Sam. That's why they bring you along to do that heavy lifting. And I'm not so sure about Sparky. Make sure, like, if give him the lighter side of the box, you know, if you guys are lifting.
Well, keep it in mind.
No, that's good. It's really good. It's you know what I like about that one is, you know that 100% of what you're giving is going right to where it's supposed to go. You know, at this time of year especially, man, I'll tell you what, if you give to one charity and get on a list, you get solicitations from 100 of them. And I don't mind giving, but I like to give knowing that most of what I'm giving is going to go to whatever the cause is, as opposed to administrative costs or somebody who's maybe on the board making $100,000 a year for the, you know, the for-profit, non-profit, if you know what I mean. So, you definitely have a good cause. It's great the station's been doing that for a lot of years.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody. I think yesterday at the end of our show, we actually reached like $20,000 in cash donations and all that. So thank you to everybody who participated. And like I said, if you still want to make donations and drop off toys, you can check out that page on the website and then try to find the nearest fire station that you can drop those off.
Okay. You know, a person can always find out by using their computer to find out from different charities what percentage actually goes to what it's intended for. And these CEOs of many of these charities, they're making a lot more than $100,000, Danny. They're $300,000-$500,000 a year for, like you said, for their nonprofit.
Yeah. Now, speaking of, that kind of brings me up to a topic. We spoke about this before, way back when. You know, when the story first broke about in New York, when the New York Attorney General, anti-gun, of course, found a way to go after the NRA. Now, I don't agree with the anti-gun politicians going after organizations targeted, which has happened to a lot of conservatives. But what they uncovered is what I did not like about the NRA was that, you know, Wayne LaPierre going on whatever he went on, some huge shopping spree with his niece or whatever, flew somewhere and has got some $17 million retirement, I think is what I read in there. And then I read how much Oliver North signed up. And, you know, I heard some Ted Nugent getting paid for something. So all these people getting, you know, getting paid big bucks. And the NRA has been a good organization over the years because it's, you know, for years it was like the only or one of the few organizations fighting to protect our Second Amendment rights. But I cannot in good faith send in my $35 or $45, whatever it is. I got the statement here in front of me. I haven't even opened it, knowing that some guy's getting multi-millions of dollars who's running the thing. I mean, I just can't do it. Sorry. So I switched over to Gun Owners of America, and that's the group that I'm now, I belong to. I send my annual membership. And once in a while, I've sent a donation to them too, as well. Now, once you get on that email list, you're going to get solicited all the time, which is another thing that kind of drives me nuts too, is like if you give to an organization and let's say you think, okay, I'll send them $20, right? Well, then in the next year, you get 20 envelopes that they're mailing asking for more donations. Well, the $20 you sent them got spent up in them sending you new solicitations the next year. I'd rather they just take the money and don't send me any more solicitations. Yeah, you know, maybe, you know, just once a year.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that because on TV, there's, you know, different hospitals or whatever or wanting your money or different organizations, Save the Whale, Save the Polar Bear, whatever. Anyway, and they always say, you know, if you send your so much a month, that we'll send you this blanket. It's like, why spend money on that blanket? You know, like you said, you know, use the money for what it's intended for. Don't go sending me a gift. I don't want to buy a blanket. You know, I got blankets, you know. Don't go sending me one of those, you know. But you're right, yeah, instead of putting the money where it needs to go, you know, don't send me a blanket.
And religious charities as well over the years, certain religious organizations have sometimes gotten a bad name where somebody will look and say, well, that, you know, TV minister, he's making this many millions or whatever. And, you know, kind of funny, though, in one sense, they'll begrudge the man of God making money, but the politician making money, nobody seems to care about. But one thing I respected about, if you give to the Billy Graham organization, they will sometimes say, okay, we'll send you this free book. And I've gotten some good books from them, but you can check a box saying, I don't need the book. So you get the option. If you're like, okay, if I'm only sending them 20, 25 bucks, I don't want them spending the money to send me a book, and they give you the option. The other thing, from what I heard Billy Graham when he was alive years ago, he actually had a limit on his own personal income, where he didn't want to get caught in that box, where it looks like he's, you know, being like the greedy heads of NRA or whatever. So yeah, there's certain lots of good causes out there. One thing I did last year is, and I'm going to do it again this year, Tom, I'm going to go ring the bell for the Salvation Army. It's something that my dad did when he was alive up in Green Bay. So I think that, and my dad always dedicated himself to a lot of good causes. He was a member of the Gideons, which was a group, actually he was president, which puts Bibles in hotels and used to distribute them to colleges and schools. But he was a Salvation Army bell ringer, and I did that last year, and I couldn't believe how generous people are. I couldn't believe it. How many people would just, I mean, not just put their loose change in, not just put, you know, $1, but I mean, people really are generous. And I think by and large, you know, a lot of people get a bad rap in this world. There's more generous, kind-hearted, loving people in this world. It's not all filled with a bunch of haters like the mainstream media would want you to believe.
Well said. You're right. As a matter of fact, I remember a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this or not, but in a Salvation Army bucket, somebody put in a gold coin. Now, I can't remember if it was a Krugerrand or what, but it was a real gold coin worth a couple thousand dollars. You know, I thought that was amazing.
So there you go, Tom, using big words that I don't know again. What did you say? Krugerrand?
Oh, a Krugerrand. That's it's a gold coin out of South Africa.
How in the heck do you know this stuff?
I don't know. I read a lot.
I guess. I mean, were you in the middle of reading a recipe on how to make South African gazelle salad when all of a sudden it said something about you're going to need a few Krugerrands to buy the ingredients?
No, it's just one of those things, you know. You know how you, over the years, you pick up useless bits of knowledge, you know.
But, oh, yeah. You know, oh, yeah, I got lots.
You know,
I've got more than my share of that.
Yeah, like other countries have their own, they'll stamp out gold coins. You know, we have our own here in the United States, too. You know, they stamp out gold coins, and then people collect them, you know. And it's an investment, you know, like in gold and silver. You know, it's an investment. So, and they got to make the coins, I guess, or they got to make the gold look fancy instead of a little gold bar or silver gold bar. They put them in coins, and then they can charge more for it. So,
yeah. How about, speaking of investments, you know, for years, Tom, I've seen advertisements, and I'm sure our listeners have as well, any outdoor hunting magazine or whatever, they have advertisements for commemorative,
yes.
Help me, Sam. Yeah. I've been up 24 hours. Rifles, and it'll be all, you know, whether it's a Winchester or a Henry rifle or whatever, all inlaid with gold and engraving. And it's basically a rifle, Tom, that you're not going to want to shoot. They make only a certain number of them, limited production. And I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do? You buy something like that and put it on the wall and then sell it 20 years later and hope to make some money on it? Or nah, I don't get it.
I believe in if you buy something, use it, you know. I mean, you know, I don't know. That's just the way I feel. I mean, like a rifle. Why buy a rifle just to put it on the wall, you know? I don't get that.
A rifle is a tool, basically.
Yeah.
a tool. Like, and it, would you buy a gold-inlaid crescent wrench that, you know, that, well, I don't know, maybe if you're a master mechanic for Power Nation Garage or something, and you got the golden mechanic of the year, the golden wrench of the year award, and you put that up there. But otherwise, I think a firearm is a tool to be used and enjoy it. And that's why, well, every firearm that I have, I do have a purpose for it. I don't just have it for the zombie apocalypse. I got this caliber if I want to shoot a coyote, which I still haven't shot yet. This if I want to get a fox, which I have, or a rifle, or a deer, or a bear, or a pheasant, or a goose, or a squirrel, or a rat, or a mouse, everything. But I have a purpose for it. And I'm like you, I like to use it. That's why deer hunting every year, I kind of like to mix it up. Oh, this year I'm going to use this rifle, and I enjoy using them. The other thing I don't like, though, is when they refer to your firearm, your deer rifle, as a weapon. I've never liked referring to my rifles or handguns as weapons, okay? I don't use them as weapons. They're firearms that I use for hunting and sporting purposes and shooting. So I've never liked that. Where some people will actually refer to your deer rifles as your weapons. Never liked that term.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I see the logic in that. I also see the logic in us paying some bills, so we got to go to our first commercial break. So, folks, stay tuned for more of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors with Dan Bush and Tom Neubauer. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush along with Tom Neubauer. Sam on the boards, keeping us on the rails, hopefully. And thank you to everybody who's joined us this morning, Tom.
Yeah, I think winter is really here. We're supposed to have snow today.
Snow? You
know, not a lot, but supposed to snow a little bit. Maybe a little bit of accumulation to the north of us. But yeah, I think, oh, and I've forgot to tell you, I don't know if you know this, but Smokey's Bait and Tackle is closed for the season now. They closed up shop. They ran out of suckers, and they didn't want to buy any more.
They shut her down. Well, yeah. There's still other good bait shops around now. Dick Smith's Bait Shop is another fine area local bait shop. They actually have their 39th anniversary sale going on. I believe I got a flyer about it, so I think it's going on right now. And they've got, if you're looking to get a bunch of ice fishing stuff, looks like they're fully stocked up on everything that you might need, so you can always check out them. They're a good small operation in the area out there on out there in Delafield. And another good place you used to work, Sherper's, is another place where, in fact, now that you're no longer ordering the fishing equipment, they still got a handle on that, Tom, at Sherper's?
Nope.
Oh, there's a way of saying, oh, they really needed me, eh? I was the...
I better not elaborate, but nope.
Nope. Okay. One thing, however, that you can get at least in Sherper's, I believe... hopefully still in Oconomowoc, they've got the Ducks Unlimited. The 2022 Wisconsin Ducks Unlimited calendar is out. It's got 450 prizes, 400 guns, $10,000 in cash prizes, 31 Yeti coolers, and a Polaris ATV. So basically, some locations can be sold out. It does say Sherper's in Port Washington is sold out. But it has Sherper's and Oconomowoc listed, Albright Gunworks in Heartland, which I've never been to Albright Gunworks in Heartland, but I'm going to have to check that out. And they've got Midwest Industries in Waukesha, Dale's, well, there you've got some other places and some other cities here too. But you pay $60 for the calendar, I guess. I think that's what it says here, something like that. And then they have the drawings once you buy the calendar. But, you know, I was going to go out to Sherper's in Oconomowoc and spend $60. But, Tom, I haven't won a gun in so long. And for many years, I was very lucky winning raffles. And I think if I keep buying tickets for raffles, I'm going to eventually, it's going to even out where I really won nothing. You know what I mean? If you take how much you spend on those tickets over the years and how much you won. So I think I'm not going to go spend $60 for the calendar, but anybody else wants to go on out there and buy it. And who knows, maybe you'll be a lucky guy and win something. And plus, I guess you're supporting Wisconsin Ducks Unlimited. So it's always good to support these organizations.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah, Sherpers and Hales Corners, they sell that calendar as well. Now, do you remember a number of years ago when, I'm trying to think of the warden's name, would come into the show, he'd come into the studio, Garoppi?
Garoppi. Yeah. Matt Garoppi.
Yeah, Matt Garoppi, that's it.
Garoppolo is the quarterback for the 49ers.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, remember when he got us to buy raffle tickets and a subscription to the when the DNR used to put out a magazine?
Yeah, well, they'd have their they'd have their calendar, and I think it was only $25 or $35, and they'd have a daily winner. I actually did win $25 from them one time, or maybe it was I don't know. I did win once, but
after we you know gave him and he caught us off guard. You know, and we had to pay him that morning. So
now, wait a second, Tom. He caught you off guard because, you know, me, I'm always the wealthy landowner from Douglas County. I always am ready to spend money. But I didn't mind buying one. In fact, I'd like to buy one again, but he's gone. He moved away, so I don't know where to get one.
They stopped making that magazine when we got a new regime in the DNR. They wanted to cut back. But anyway, I was going to say that, you know, I bought that calendar, magazine, whatever it was, and I got two checks that year for $30 each. I was totally surprised. I didn't expect I was going to get anything, you know. Thought it was just a donation. But, yeah, I got two checks, $30 each.
Well,
yeah, when the new DNR regime came in, they wanted to save money. They said that was frivolous spending, putting out that magazine, which I thought was a very interesting magazine about Wisconsin's great outdoors.
Well, Tom, hold the fort. I didn't really care about the magazine. I liked the calendar.
Oh, well,
right.
I
didn't buy the calendar so I could get the stupid magazine. I got it because I wanted to try and win $30 like you did, and you won twice, and I only won once, so now I'm upset.
Well, I liked the calendar as well, but I also liked the magazine. It was an interesting magazine, but the DNR, they said it was frivolous spending. They wanted to save money, but yet they spend money like drunken sailors on everything else. You know,
well,
so I don't know why. And it basically paid for itself.
I don't know. I don't know if it paid for itself. You'd have to look at their books to know that. But I still think that I think once a year I do get a magazine from them. I still get something sent to me, I believe.
I don't.
Well, probably not, because all you do is blast them all the time.
I don't blast them.
You do.
I give them credit.
You're trying to blast them now.
Hey, I give them credit where credit is due.
And
a kick in the shorts where it's apropos. Yes, exactly.
It seems like you're a lot more likely to warm up your foot for the kick than you are your hand for the pat on the back.
Well, I can't help it if they keep screwing up things.
Well, speaking of screwing up in DNR, we're segueing beautifully into these topics. I got an email. DNR is to host the virtual CWD response plan review. It's going to be Friday, December 10th from 9 to 11. And apparently, you can get more information if you go to the DNR CWD webpage. It says the public is invited to watch live on the DNR's YouTube channel. No registration required to attend, and a recording of the meeting will be posted to the DNR website. Now, the DNR's 15-year CWD response plan is in effect through 2025, and I've talked about this a little bit, Tom. I'm still not sure what kind of response plan they have other than they stopped. So I guess it must have started in 2010. They stopped putting their head in the hole and just kind of see no evil, hear no evil on a CWD. And now they are aggressively, as I've alluded to earlier, encouraging people to get their deer tested for CWD in all counties, not just ones affected or whatever. It seems like they want to get an idea on how widespread it is. But as far as response, the only response I see them doing is just banning baiting once they find that, once they find CWD positive, either in a public land or on a private deer farm in a given county. I believe if it's within 10 miles of an adjacent county, even if that adjacent county does not have CWD, they ban baiting there as well. So all I see them doing is just banning baiting here and there. And I really don't know what kind of response plan they really have on this thing. It's like they really don't have an answer on it. It's just spreading like crazy, and it's getting worse.
Well, yes, it is. And we got an email here, Danny.
Okay.
And this is from Paul, regular listener. He says, how much longer will you guys be broadcasting from home and not at the station? Well, Paul, since we got all these new variants popping up, the Delta, the one from Africa, another one from here, there, wherever, of the COVID virus, who knows? We have no clue, Paul. No clue. So.
I wonder how many deer hunters got COVID from field dressing their deer this year. You know, Tom, they were telling you to wear masks.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Maybe double mask. Like that Fauci.
Yeah, that might help. Like Fauci.
Fauci. Well, first, no mask. Oh, yeah, now you can wear a mask. Well, maybe double mask. Yeah.
Well.
I hear he wears double condoms, too. So, yeah, that's old Fauci there. Always stressing safety and health, I guess. But, I'm not worried about it from field dressing a deer.
I don't think so, no. And right now, we got to go to the bottom of the hour break, 6:29. So, folks, we got the gut report coming up, and I've got something that you might have heard of it, you might not have heard of it. Stay tuned for that and a lot more right here in the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Come here, I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. So, how many of you people ever heard of a muffalata sandwich? A muffalata sandwich was invented by a Sicilian deli down in New Orleans many, many years ago. And if you like olives, you'll love this sandwich. Now, first of all, you need a big piece of bread. It's like a big round loaf of bread that you cut in half, okay? And then you got to put this, what I'm going to give you is this recipe that you got to spread on the top and the bottom. And then in between, you put several deli meats and of your choice and cheeses of your choice. And it's a big, big old sandwich, right? It's huge. It's not like for one person. This is for like maybe four. And here is the muffalata spread, the olive salad. And you can change these amounts to your liking. Okay. Now you might, if you don't have a pencil and paper right now, you might want to go on our website, not the CEO, but the Cutting Edge Outdoors, you know, over at the station, 11:30 a.m. 12:50 a.m. to get all these ingredients. Anyway, here we go. 3/4 cups of chopped green olives with the pimento, 1/4 cup of black olives chopped, 1/4 cup of diced celery chopped, 1/4 cup of diced shallots or onions, finely diced, 2 cloves of minced garlic, 1 teaspoon of dried oregano, 1/3 to 1/2 cup olive oil. Now, what you want to do is you want to mush it up with a muddler or put in a food processor so it gets smooth. And then, like I said, you smooth it on top and bottom of the sandwich. Now, for a little kick, you can add some diced pepperoncini or a pinch of red pepper flakes. Spice it up a little bit if you'd like. Now, this is your basic muffalata olive salad, okay? If you want to get a longer recipe, you just Google it on your computer and you'll find recipes that will give you about 30 different ingredients. But this basic ingredient works. And If you like olives, you'll like it. If you don't like olives, well, go buy a Burger King or McDonald's or something. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you'll find the best price, service, and selection at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. And for those of you who want to get that delicious, nutritious recipe Tom was talking about, you can't go to the 1250 website and it's not going to have the recipe on there posted.
No.
But if you go to the website, you can, later after our show, a couple hours after the show, Sam always gets our show up and posted so you can listen to this show after the fact. So if you want to log on later today, tomorrow, whenever, click on hour one of the show, and then you can listen to it and pause it as you go to write down the ingredients of this great recipe that, once again, Tom has been gracious enough to share with us.
Do you remember the name of the sandwich?
Mugala.
Close enough.
Mufalada. Pulusi Bagumba.
Mufalada. I wonder what that means in Italian. Maybe some Italian listener will tell us what mufalata means in Italian.
Mufalata. All I remember is Gilligan had to remember Pulusi Magumba, and he would have told the native chief the right thing, but he screwed it up. So, yeah, mufalata. Why do you come up with these weird words and names, Tom? I just don't know.
Well, I watch these cooking shows, you know, and then I write down these recipes when they do them.
Well, you know, Tom, I've come to the conclusion that you really love eating. As a matter of fact, when you were a baby, your favorite time was probably nursing because you like to eat. Well, there might have been other reasons too, but you love to eat.
Well, it's not so, well, we all have to eat, but the thing is that I like cooking. Now, some of the stuff I cook turns out to be real garbage. I mean, it's terrible. I mean,
oh, come on.
No, there are
really?
Some, because what I do is, you know, I'll watch these cooking shows and I'll write down the recipes and then I'll make it. And it turns out either I screwed up the recipe or it just wasn't very good, okay? And so I throw those away, but a lot of them are very good. And so then I write them down, and I've got a folder. Actually, I've got two manila folders that I've got so many darn recipes, Danny. From over the years of doing this.
You actually keep folders of recipes.
Oh, yeah. And I have cookbooks, too.
Wow. And you got your own apron. We already know that. It's black. It's black with kind of like a skull and cross, kind of like a pirate's flag. Tom, he's the kitchen pirate. So let me ask you, Tom, who's your favorite TV cooking host?
I really don't have a favorite.
Oh, come on. You got to have one.
I see so many of them that I really don't have a favorite.
Who gave you the best recipe ever? Do you remember?
No, not really.
You just don't remember their names. They're kind of like me and old girlfriends. Hey, you want to know who my favorite TV chef was?
Who's that?
You'll never guess.
Never.
Come on, think.
I can't think of his name. He was a guy from Louisiana, old guy?
No, well, he's an old guy. This guy's old. He's foreign.
Oh, I don't know. Is he French?
No, Swedish.
I wonder, is that the guy who's still on TV now?
Think Muppets.
Oh, okay, got it, yeah.
The Swedish Chef.
Yeah, the Swedish Chef.
Tiburg. So, Sam, bring us up a clip, audio clip sometime of the Swedish Chef. I always loved listening to him.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be on a TV commercial like Animal is. Animal was my other favorite one, too. They got him on the Geico commercial there? You know, we got Animal living. You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
I used to love that guy, Animal. And the Swedish Chef was hilarious.
You know, there's these companies who have these really, like, dumb commercials. They're really weird, right? And you do remember them. But I'm just saying that they don't tell you a lot about the product. And it seems like those companies must be making way too much money to spend multi-millions of dollars on these goofy commercials, you know, that don't tell you really anything about their product. Like during the Super Bowl, you see a commercial and then you ask yourself, what was that about? Who was that commercial for?
I'll be honest with you. There are some commercials that I hear, not on this station, but on another station which will remain nameless. And I've heard these commercials for years, and some of them try and make a political statement within the commercial. And at the end of the commercial, I have no idea, after listening to these commercials for 6 years, what the company or product is even talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, you would think that if you have a commercial, you want it to be, you know, simple. You want it something to stick, you know, like 2 all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. That was brilliant advertising years ago, my friend. The Big Mac, which I remember 50 years later, maybe 55 years later. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And you know, some of the marketing ads that you see are good. There are some creative people, but there's a lot of dummies making way too much money. Their pay grade's way too high because the commercials suck.
Yep, I agree 100%. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm glad we agreed on something, Tom. Now, if you want that Wisconsin, you know, magazine, because you're kind of complaining they cut the budget, you know, they still have the Wisconsin Natural Resources magazine, which you can get as the perfect stocking stuffer holiday gift for just $8.97 per year, but you won't be in a calendar where you can win, you know, $30 or whatever.
No, that's all right.
Yeah, you're not going to spend the $8.97 because you like that magazine so much?
No, I got to go on their website. I got to get on that, yeah. But I think that's...
What do you mean you got it?
Wisconsin.gov, WisconsinDNR.gov. That's what it is.
So you are going to order it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I don't think you will. It's only 4 issues for $8.97 a year.
Man, yeah, that's all right.
You think you will?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, okay. When I come over, I want to see it.
All right. As a matter of fact, I'll save you the copy so that you can read it then.
I want to see it and have you tell me the 3 rules of gun safety while you do. So.
Oh, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me.
I'm sorry, Tom. Hey, we got a caller to bail you out.
All right.
All right, let's go to Dennis in Boulder Junction.
Oh,
hey.
It's about time.
Tom was complaining. He thought something...
What's
that? My wife hollered at me. She said, "You got to call him down there." I said, "I will. I'll call him this morning."
You know, last week we were talking about you, and I said, "I got to call Dennis to see if everything's okay, if something bad didn't happen." And then I forgot. So,
yeah. Well, we all forget. We're getting old. So, but no, we got a nice condition up here right now. We're making trails, panning trails, getting ready for snowmobiling. The lakes are froze up. Most of the lakes are froze up where we can get out and do some ice fishing. And they're talking a storm coming Saturday at night and Sunday to anywhere from 8 to 10 inches of snow. So that's going to help the snowmobile trail system. And most lakes are in pretty good shape to get out on to go ice fishing. But you still got to be careful. And the bigger ones, the deeper ones are not froze yet.
So right,
So you got to be careful. Somebody's coming up, so... Just check out with the sports shops or wherever you're going. I would say north of Tomahawk is where you really start looking at winter when you get up here.
Yeah. So what have you been doing the last few months?
Well, Monday, believe it or not, Monday afternoon and Tuesday, I was down in Milwaukee by you and looking at the green grass and getting things put away for winter down there before it started getting cold. And then I came back up here and been fishing. Walleye fishing was good until, obviously, they started plowing the roads, and then obviously when that happens, I don't take the boat out anymore. It's too much work to clean it up. But now the bigger lakes are still open, some of the bigger lakes, but most of the smaller lakes are froze up, and guys are out ice fishing already, and you got to be careful, but it's good early walleye fishing this time of year and crappie fishing.
Do you still deer hunt?
Deer hunting is over. We got muzzle loading going on now, and of course bull season. And I went up with my son-in-law who was up here, and we saw very, very few deer. I was surprised how the deer population. It seems like they hid. I don't know what happened to them, but man, he didn't see many.
Oh, well.
Slow season. I'm and according to the paper, I guess the state's down about 12 or 14% for the deer kill. But you know, that's what they say in the paper.
Yeah, but you're doing okay then. Everything's okay up there.
Yes, sir. And I know my wife has been after me. She said, "You call down there?" No, I haven't called for a long time. And I said, "I know they're." But I'm in a coffee shop right now in Boulder. He's got a brand new coffee shop in town. It's a great place to stop in. And anybody's up here, they got a great a limited menu. But it's just a nice little spot right downtown across from the sports shop.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Dennis.
Yes.
Dennis, quick question. Does anybody, I don't know, I think it's open yet. Does anybody do any musky fishing yet this late into the season, soaking suckers or anything?
Yes, Dan, believe it or not, a buddy of mine, he lives in Eau Claire. He just came over here last week. The shore lights are starting to form along the landings, and it's tough to get a boat in. But if you got a small row troller or something, you can get out. But there are men and women, obviously, are still musky fishing. And it is with suckers, and they throw some baits too, but most of it's sucker fishing.
Okay. Well, I guess if a guy wants to get a big one, you still get a got a chance to get a monster this time of year, especially on a big sucker.
Oh yeah, and this time of the year they really are putting on the pounds, getting ready for winter. And a buddy of mine fishes up at Lake Superior, and he sent me five pictures. He caught five fish in one day, and the biggest one was 52 inches.
Wow!
So he had a good day, and he was bragging about it, which he should, because it was a great day to catch. You know, you go out and catch five fish in one day. That's unusual.
That's pretty good for muskies, anyway.
Yeah.
For muskies is right, correct, right.
Well, so. Dennis, thanks for calling us. We appreciate it because we were getting a little worried about you.
thank you for being worried about me. I will keep in touch. I promise I'll call more often.
All right, Dennis. Thank you.
Take care, Dennis.
Okay, you guys have a good holiday. But I'll talk to you before then. So
you too. Merry Christmas. Hey, and that was Dennis Royce, our Boulder Junction connection, and coming up next is the Hornswoggle, brought to you by Carl's Country Market, out there in Menominee Falls on the corners of Pilgrim Road and Silver Spring. You know, give them a try, folks. If you're looking for international foods, you want award-winning sausages and great meats and like a little country store, try Carl's Country Market. By the way, they also do deer processing and fish smoking. Anyway, we got the Hornswoggle coming up. If you haven't won in the last 2 months, you can win a $10 gift certificate if you win the Hornswoggle. And all you got to do to be a contestant is call 414-799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. And good luck to all of you.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes, Cutting Edge Outdoors. And right now, I believe we have a lucky contestant for our Hornswoggle here, Sam?
Yes, we do. Let's go to Fred in Mequon.
Fred in Mequon. How are you doing, Fred?
Yeah, good morning, Fred.
Good, Tom and Danny.
Okay, so do you ice fish, Fred?
No, but I've done it.
Okay, all right. Well, sorry to hear that. No.
Sounds like a smart guy to me, Danny.
Yeah, actually, ice fishing can be fun, believe it or not. And I'll be talking a little bit about that later in the show. But here we go. Ice fishing. The best way to check out the ice to see if it's safe or not is jump up and down as hard as you can. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Hornswoggle.
That's a Hornswoggle. Yeah. What you want to do is get one of those big heavy bars. I think, what do they call them, Tom? A spud? Is that what they call them? Carry a spud, and you can kind of put that out in front of you and kind of bring it down onto the ice and see if it's solid. If it pops through, you better get the heck out of there. So, okay, you're one out of one. Okay, when ice fishing, going through the ice is not the only danger when ice fishing. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle, and I'm going to tell you what that danger might be. If you get out, and Tom, I'm sure you've probably experienced this, our listeners have stories. If you get out on that glare ice when there's no couple inches of snow to walk on, I'm telling you, your feet can go up and the soles of your feet can be pointing at the sun before you even know it, and your noggin is pointing right at the ice. And I'll tell you, I've taken some pretty heavy hits before, and I had a good friend of mine. We were up in the Bay of Green Bay one time, and he suffered a concussion. He went down hard right alongside the truck. Okay, well, which leads me to the next one. You're 2 out of 2. Let's see if you would have been 3 out of 3. Having creepers, ice fishing type cleats on the bottom of your boots is a good idea when ice fishing. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle, you betcha. All right. Well, that sounds good. I hope, Fred, you can avoid ice fishing at all costs this winter and do yourself a favor. And what we'll do is we'll put you on hold, get your address, and you'll get a $10 certificate to Carl's Country Market, where you can buy some delicious, nutritious things, and you'll be a lot safer there. You won't go through the ice.
Sounds cool. I've always heard about great things in ice fishing on Sheboygan River. That'd be a good one to talk about, too.
The Sheboygan River, okay, I'm thinking probably trout, I'm guessing. Is that it?
Ice fish on the Sheboygan River?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
It's not that deep. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I believe
out sometime from an expert.
Okay. Wow. Well, that sounds good. And I think, you know, here's the thing. That's kind of kept quiet by a lot of people, Fred. But some of these Lake Michigan tributaries, they catch big browns, steelhead, and some of them, especially around the Algoma area, they get pike as well. But there's a lot of guys out there, maybe some guides who will remain nameless, that don't like to talk about that stuff.
I hear you.
Unless they're getting paid. So, yeah. All right. Thanks, Fred.
Okay, thanks,
cool,
Fred.
Thanks, guys.
You know, Danny, you were talking about the glare ice one time, and I did fall through the ice one time. But on glare ice one time, I had, you know, in my bucket for ice fishing, I didn't have my creepers, and I was doing a TV show, and the ice was really, I mean, slick. It was dangerous slick. Anyway, and I go in my bucket, and no ice creepers. I found out later on that one of my boys had borrowed them but never put them back. Anyway, when I started to drill the hole with the ice, with the Jiffy ice drill, I started going around in circles. Honest to God, I was going around in circles. It was, those ice creepers are so important to have. Like when you said, if there's no snow on the ice and that, they are really, really important.
Yeah, I actually bought a pair a couple years ago, and what I did was I actually put it on one pair of boots that I left them on permanently on that pair of boots. So the only time I would wear that pair of boots was if it was a situation with the ice, just like that. And I got enough pairs of boots where, you know, duplicate pairs where I don't need, you know, to have the creepers on everything. So I had them on one pair, but definitely worth the investment. If you ever get a chance, sometimes you can get creepers on sale. Now, I'm sure Dick Smith's would have them. I'm guessing maybe Sherpers might, but you can get them now at the beginning of the season, because you obviously, if you're going to get into ice fishing, now's when you're going to want to use them. But if you wait till the end of the year, sometimes, like anything, you can get stuff for half price. Matter of fact, if you're looking to buy Blaze Orange hunting stuff, probably now through Christmas, whatever, is the time to hit your local retail stores and see if you can get the clearance rack on the Blaze Orange stuff, whether for yourself or your kids, because you can get some pretty gosh darn good deals.
Yeah, and, you know, creepers right now, you can get the inexpensive ones that just go under the arch. They're like $5, okay? And so you can get an inexpensive set. But then they've got these really nice ones. There's creepers you can get that are more aggressive, you know, and some that are less aggressive. And the ones that are for, like, walking on sidewalks, just for taking your dog for a walk, I wouldn't use those on the ice. But they've got some rubber ones that slip on and off very easily. They're very aggressive. You will not fall down, that is for sure. So, but, yeah. But otherwise, if you just buy a cheap set of $5 ones, you always got them handy just in case, you know, and it doesn't cost a lot of money.
Yeah, you are right, Tom. There's a number of different types. There's some that are more expensive, a little more elaborate, you know, that you lace up and maybe secure to your boots. Others like maybe a little easier, a little slip-on type things. But definitely a good idea to have them. That's for doggone sure. And you mentioned, too, walking your dog. Yeah, I guess realistically, if you're out walking on a sidewalk or anywhere, I mean, listen, I'll tell you what. Not only on the ice have I gone down hard, I've gone down hard wearing a pair of boots, dress boots or shoes. Woo, you know, going out into a fancy restaurant in the middle of winter or church or whatever. I'm telling you, I've hit some sidewalks pretty hard. You know, fortunately, you know, I'm like, you know, Chuck Bednar and Iron Man. I don't get injured easily, but maybe as I get older, if I go down again, I would get injured. So probably got to start wearing those cleats more often, Tom.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, folks. So, well, we got the top of the hour break coming up, and we got one more hour to go of the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. So Dan and I will be right back in just a couple of minutes. So grab that other cup of coffee and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Odyssey Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train! All aboard!
Welcome to the Wacky Walleye Cutting Edge Outdoors Show. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Well, good morning again, folks. We're glad you're sticking with us this morning here on the Wacky Walleye Cutting Edge Outdoors. And as you know, Danny and I come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., and we are a live show. And if you've got any questions or comments, all you got to do is call us at 414-799-1250 or email us at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Anyway, good morning again, fellas. Everything holding up over there at the studio okay there, Sam?
He must be okay. He's busy producing right now, Tom.
He's going out getting a cup of coffee or something.
He's a producer there, right? Yeah.
No, I'm actually – okay, your son's on the phone, but I'm trying to figure out if we should get him on now or, you know, next segment and all that. Give me 1 second here.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll talk to them. Which son? That's just it.
Well, my three sons, Tom. While we wait for your son, I got to correct myself. I said I was a modern-day Iron Man Chuck Bednar. It's Chuck Bednarik, Iron Man two-way legendary football player.
Okay.
I remind myself a lot of him.
Okay, so are we all set, Sam?
Yep, let's go to Nick.
All right. Hey, good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Nick.
Good. What are you doing this morning?
What you got?
What are you calling for?
Oh, I was just, you know, making breakfast, getting stuff ready for the kids. And I just wanted to call, first of all, I listened to the show last week via podcast on Monday afterwards. And Bushy, congratulations on shooting that deer.
Yeah, I was really, really lucky, man. I couldn't believe it. But thanks.
2 years in a row, man. The gods are with you. Yeah, that story was pretty cool, how you crept up and the whole thing. Then you sat and saw it later on. I mean, congratulations.
You know, I think next year, though, I'm just going to do the antlerless hunts from now on, because this is getting way too expensive, and I got to keep giving fish mounts away to Park Avenue Pizza to make room for the game heads. And this has got to stop.
Deer mounts, yeah.
This has got to stop.
Well, that's cool. But, yeah, and your guys were spot on. My hunting experience for the gun hunt, I went for opening weekend, and I saw one deer, one doe way out in the field, where this whole bow hunting season, I've seen deer galore everywhere. I passed on bucks I probably should have been shooting. Now I'm kicking myself because opening day, I passed on a big 10-pointer. I'm like, oh, I'm going to see a better one than this. So bow hunting was great. Gun hunting was horrible. And in the area we are, not a lot of shots either. So,
Yeah, it's interesting. I know based on the information, and I was going to, this would be a perfect lead into it. I believe that the license purchases this year, as of 11:59 Sunday, November 28th, the overall license sales for all deer licenses was down 1.5% from the same time last year. So that's not really a big decrease, I would think, necessarily, in hunter totals. But it just seems like the harvest in most areas, and I don't know, sometimes you try and predict it, you know, the weather, whether they're going to be moving or not. It's too warm, it's too hot, moon phase, no moon phase, snow, no snow, whatever. It's sometimes you try and figure them out, and it's kind of like fishing. Sometimes you do, the more you realize, the less you really know.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. That opening day was a full moon. So I remember I woke up in the middle of the night a couple times, and I look out, and it looks like there's a lantern on outside. It was so bright. So we were thinking maybe those deer were up moving all night, and then morning came, and now deer hunters are out, and I don't know. Could be moon phase, like you said. It was, it was in the 30s in the morning, maybe 28, 30 degrees. So, I mean, it's cold.
Interesting you mentioned that, Nick, because this year I did read an article. And, of course, a guy reads too many stories on deer hunting. Everybody's got their theories. But it did mention exactly that okay. When there's the full moon, and it was talking during the rut as well, it said during the full moon, a lot of those deer are just moving at night and not as much during the day. So there might be something to that.
Could be, yeah. Could be. And then one other thing, guys, before I let you go, I'm going to transition to ice fishing. You guys were talking about electronics last week, about what I use and things like that. I use the most basic model Vexilar, the FL8. It's the cheapest one, and it's the easiest one to use and read. And I do fish shallow water last year a lot, we're talking like 5 feet. And when I use that Vexilar, that model, your jig pops up on the screen, if you know how they're like a flasher-style dial. The jig would pop up really thick, and it was hard to distinguish my jig from the bottom from this. I couldn't read it. So there's a thing you can buy, and they call it an S cable, a suppressor cable that you hook on to the back of your Vexilar, and it goes into the transducer cord, where it cuts your power by 50%. It's for shallow water. So then, now my jig looks small, like it's supposed to, and the fish, you can dictate if it's, if it's green, it's small. If it gets red, it's big. And it works the way it's supposed to work in deep water, in shallow water, with a suppressor cable.
That's good information.
That really is. That makes sense, Nick, because I'm thinking open water fishing, if I'm in 5 feet of water or shallower water, I tend to lower my sensitivity down on my units as well in open water.
Yep. And the newer Vexilar, the better models like the FL18, and they go up. That is already built into them, and that's part of the whole thing from what I read. But my unit is the cheaper of them. But for $15 or $12 it was, now I can fish in shallow water, and it comes off in a second. So if I ever go out to deep water, just unhook it, put it back on. Now I'm back to normal.
Let me ask you this, Nick. They got the underwater cameras, which they came out with those black and white ones umpteen years ago. But I believe they've got, and I don't have one, but I believe they've got some. You can lower it down and kind of like turn it around in a 360 to see fish off to the side. Have you ever thought of anything like that?
Yeah, actually my one brother-in-law, he bought one off of Facebook Marketplace a couple years back, a Markham, I think it's Markham AquaView camera type thing. Yeah,
right.
He can spin it, and it's pretty cool when you can see what's actually down there and the weeds and the live fish that are coming, looking at your jig, going away. I mean, it's pretty neat.
How far to the side does it let you see? I mean, do you see 10 feet, 20 feet, or does it depend a lot on the water clarity, I'm guessing?
It's water clarity, and it's not 10 feet. The one he had might be a little lower base model. I've seen some videos with the newer ones, and you are right. Maybe you can look out 10 feet from those newer ones, those color ones, and the picture is crisp and nice. I bet you it might be 5 to 10 feet.
Well, like you said, if the water clarity is, if it's really clear, you'll be able to see quite a ways.
Yeah.
Now, Nick, one of your brothers told me that you went out to your favorite ice fishing spot, but you were going to cast hopefully open water, but there was ice on it.
It might have been last week or the week prior. Yeah, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go to this spot, see if I can catch a couple blue. I had the day off of work. That's what it was. And I ran over there, and as soon as I get over there, half of the bay was frozen where I fish, and I was where I had to cast really far just to get it in the water and then reel it in over the top of the ice to get it back. And I almost got my line cut on the edge of the ice a couple times.
So you're looking forward to the ice, though.
Oh, I am, yeah.
It's going to be pretty soon now, pretty soon.
Hey, Nick, I got another question on the ice fishing. Being as you fish shallow water, and I'm sure, I know in talking to your dad over the years, sometimes you do some tip-up fishing for pike.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Do you feel that the fish in shallow water, the pike can be spooked if you run on the ice or are stomping around heavily?
Yes, I do. Especially, you can even notice that if you get a flag that hits and you start coming up and, you know, you're running to it and stomping, you know, that thing's maybe spinning a little bit. As soon as you get up to it, that thing will just take off. They can hear you. Even with the panfish in that shallow water, you have to be, if you're sitting there quiet and not a lot of people around you and you're not moving, you catch way more than, like, when I have my kids with me and they're bouncing around the ice. And, yeah, you still catch them, but it's, I believe, if you got to be quiet, especially with that clear ice, too. Yeah, you got to sit there and be still.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I actually read one article that said a pike, let's say it's running, you're running to your tip up, you don't really know which direction the fish is running, that if you run directly over the fish as it's running, that it might be inclined to just drop the bait and let it go.
Could drop it, yeah, I'm with you on that.
I got a question for you, Nick.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen me run for a tip up?
I don't think I've no.
Well, he has for a donut, but not a tip up.
No. Well, here's the thing, Danny. I got to tell you, Chris and Nick, they'll put those damn tip ups so far away, and when we would go out, I would put the tip up, you know, maybe 10 feet away from me or 20 feet. I mean, I'd keep it close. I didn't want. I'm not going to go running.
Listen,
we'll just walk over to it.
I'm with Nick on this, and little did you know, but, you know, your wife probably asked him quietly, hey, you know, can you help him get a little exercise, boys? Let's just set those tip-ups out a little further. But seriously, though, a lot of our listeners can relate to this if you fish for pike. It just seems like when I set tip-ups, you always kind of like, especially on Lake of the Woods when we'd go up there for the giant pike, you always like to set some way far away, and it always seems like you got one way out there that by the end of the day, that farthest one goes up and you get a big one. It just seems to always be that far one does go up.
I am with you. Now, I've kind of transitioned to my dad's method where I won't put them as far, but I will put one. I always put one that's way out there, and you are right. It seems like, I don't know what it is, but it seems it'll be the biggest one of the day. And last year, speaking of the bigger ones, I always put one out with a hot dog on it. After watching the Larry Smith show, what, 2-3 years ago when he did that one segment with it.
Yep.
And I tell you, I catch some of the biggest pike on a stupid, cheap hot dog, bar S. They're like, I don't know, 79 cents or whatever the heck they are. I catch them all the time on that thing.
What? Okay, I'm going to buy some hot dogs this year. That way, if I get hungry, I can eat out there too. But what is the brand that you like?
I just buy this cheapest one called Bar S. It's the cheapest hot dog you can get.
B-A-R-S?
B-A-R-S.
Dash S. Okay, where do you buy those Bar S hot dogs?
You get them at Pick and Save, Walmart. Actually, I get them from the dollar store now.
I go to the dollar store all the time. I think I ought to buy stock in there. I'm their favorite customer. So, yes, I'm going to go to the dollar store and pick them up there.
Yeah, so now that family dollar now is raised to $1.25.
You know, one thing you learned from your father, Nick, maybe you didn't learn how to set tip-ups close, but you did learn how to save a buck.
There you go.
One more thing. Last year, in regards to setting tip-ups close, my brother-in-law and my nephew, we go all the time, and the kids go. And a lot of times I always set a couple, like my dad said, really close. One of them I put right next to the shanty when we were fishing, and they make fun of me and all that. And sure enough, my nephew is standing right next to that tip-up. We're talking, bing, it pops up, and we catch a nice walleye.
You know what? It does – It does seem like the one furthest and the one closest going up at your Funny story, and then we got to go to break here. Years ago, Ron Johnson and I took his buddy, who had just gotten hired by the FBI. We went out to Lake Como to tip up fish, and we're throwing a football around, and the tip up went up in front of his friend, and the spindle's spinning like crazy. And after a minute or two, he finally looks over at us and says, "Hey, guys, does this mean anything?" He points at the tip up, and the spindle flags up, and I said, "Oh, yeah, it means something." I said, "You're going to be a great FBI agent, trained observer like you are. You're all over it." Yeah.
That's good.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Nick.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'll let you guys go, and I'll talk to you tonight. Too. Oh, yeah, we'll see you tonight.
All right.
All right, take care, Nick.
Okay, bye now.
See ya. Bye-bye.
And we got one email I just want to mention quick before we go to break. This is from Kyle. He says, "I want to reiterate to what Tom's son said. The suppressor cable works great for dialing in the Vexlar when in shallow water. Easy to install, too." And then it says, "Bushy, quit slipping and falling on the ice. You'll scare all the fish." So anyway, that's it from Kyle. And with that, folks, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned for more.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes, cutting edge outdoors. It's 7:20 in the morning. Traffic is light and variable on the Edens. We have one rollover on the expressway, and I don't know what I'm talking about, Tom.
Well, we got an email here from Brady. Brady says, "Do you guys have a preference for tip-ups versus tip-downs? Buddy of mine brought some tip-downs a few years ago, and I had never seen them before. The tip-downs seem more sensitive to bites from smaller fish since the rod itself tips versus having to pull hard enough to trigger the flag on a tip-up. Got any experience with those?" Okay, you want to go first or should I?
You go first, Tom.
All right. Years ago when I used to ice fish, Brady, I preferred the tip-ups, number one. But I did have some tip-downs. There was a fellow who made these very extravagant, expensive wood tip-downs. They were really nice. You're right. They are more sensitive to smaller fish. As a matter of fact, a lot of times guys would put small minnows on them for crappies and perch. And they did a very fine job at that because they were so sensitive and you didn't have to pull them to trip that flag. But I do prefer the tip-ups better than the tip-downs. That's just me. So what about you, Danny?
Well, it's really interesting, and thanks for that email, I guess. I've always been a tip-up guy. However, last year I did buy a ice fishing rod and reel. I got it. Being Tom, I learned from the best. I bought it for 50% off. And I plan on using it this year, and I'm going to use it multi-purpose. I'm going to do some, and I meant to talk about this during the show today, I'm going to start doing some jigging for northern pike through the ice. So when I go out, I'm going to, you know, typically put a couple tip-ups out, maybe one with a dead bait, one with a live bait. But I've been reading a lot about jigging form, so now I got the perfect setup. I kind of figured out what kind of line I want to get and leader I'm going to use. But I also would like to set it up as a tip-down type of deal. And I did look at several different types. The kind I want to buy is called the Finicky Fooler. Finicky Fooler, and it's great for an open bale fishing, and which I got spinning. That's what I got, spinning rod and reel for my ice fishing. Right now, they're on sale at Dick Smith's for just $26.99, and I went on their website yesterday, and it looks like you can adjust the sensitivity, and then you can also get another model for more expensive that automatically sets the hook. But I plan on having the bale open, and it looks like you can, like you said, you can set the sensitivity, although with the spindle on a tip-up, if you know your tip-ups, there are different ways to do a lighter setting on a tip-up as well, where you can get a pretty light setting. I want to say that the HT polar tip-ups, as far as I'm concerned, tend to be the lightest setting ones, even compared to the beaver dams. But you know, you can adjust how you set that spindle on a tip-up as well, as far as sensitivity. But I think it will be fun just to try and have one rod and reel that I'm either using that, you know, tip down type situation or jigging with along with the tip ups. It'll be something new for me to try this year.
Years ago, Danny, they made a, we talked about this before a couple years back, but they made a little flag tip up that attached to your rod, to the bait, to the rod just above where the reel is. And you would open up the spinning reel, open the bail, put the line across this little piece of metal, and then your bait in the water. And when you got a bite, it pulled the line, and it flipped up this little flag that was probably 3 inches tall, 3 or 4 inches tall. And then you would be able to fight the fish on a regular, you know, short fishing rod and reel, ice fishing size. And you would have, you know, those little red stands, rod holders?
Yep.
Okay, you would put it in one of those. So that, you know, it would be off the ice and that. And I'll tell you, we caught so many pike on regular rod and reel. And it's so much more fun catching them on a rod and reel. You know, of course, a short rod and reel.
Right.
Rather than hand over handing it. It was a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, the biggest bass I caught ice fishing was on one of these. And I'll tell you what, that was a ball catching that thing, you know. So, yeah, but they don't make that thing anymore. I wish they would, because that thing was awesome. I love that thing.
Well, there's all kinds of systems out there. One I think they call the automatic fisherman. If you buy it with the rod and reel, it's like $130, I think, when I checked last year.
Oh, yeah, the hook, yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different systems. And the nice thing about ice fishing, every year there's different innovations coming out. You mentioned on a short rod and reel, many people remember on Gillespie's show years ago, they went with Big Strike Outfitters up to Lake Tobin for the pike, which is also where I and Gordy and Tommy Wilson and his dad Porter went up there as well years ago and caught giant pike up there. That was really something. But they went up there with Kurt was the guy who had that operation up there at the time. And Pete Mena, just for fun, took one of his musky rod and reels. I think it was like 8-9 foot. Yes. And he actually, just for, I don't know how exactly he set it up, if he just kind of propped it up on something and probably hit the, kind of like when you're sucker fishing, probably hit the free spool and maybe turned his clicker on or whatever he did. Yep. And he wound in a nice pike through the ice.
Yeah, I remember that. Speaking of that, I just remembered something that I wanted to tell you this morning and our audience. If you want to see one of the funniest gosh darn things on YouTube, go on YouTube and type in the search section, type in John Gillespie gets slapped. This was a number of years ago. He was fishing with Stevie Herbeck. What's the name of that lodge that they go up to?
On Eagle Lake.
Which one?
It was on Eagle Lake, I believe.
Yeah, there's a name of a lodge. They just had it on the last couple weeks. Well, anyway, you know, musky fishing. Anyway, they were musky fishing. It was Pete Mena, Steve Herbeck, and John Gillespie. And you know how John gets excited and starts hollering and screaming? Well, he started hollering and screaming. Stevie was bringing in a fish. Stevie stopped reeling, and he slapped John in the face, and he told him to calm down. Those guys were laughing so hard. You should have just Google John Gillespie gets slapped. It is hilarious. I mean, and he slapped the one and said, calm down. Got to see that. That was hilarious.
But anyway. That was open water fishing then, obviously.
Yeah, they were fishing muskies up there on a Canadian lake, and I think maybe a few more people should do that to John every now and then.
No, come on, Tom. Why, you know, John, no, slap, I mean, no, you know, that's, John, that's what makes the show.
You know, I'm joking. You know,
that's joking. What makes the show. Yeah, he does a great job. So, and I haven't watched his show for a while, but that's all, I've always enjoyed it. And I like Larry Smith's show as well, so. We got lots of good shows, and, you know, the nice thing is most of the time they cover our area as far fishing here. I mean, they'll do an occasional trip up to Canada. They'll do an occasional trip. It's kind of funny. They were on the same wavelength that I was years ago because, you know, I'm into big pike fishing. I was a member of Pike Master years ago, and this is how I would hear about Lake Tobin. This is how I would hear about Nungesser Lake, which, you know, Pete and John also went up to Nungesser Lake fishing for big pike. And I believe, what's his name? Jack Penny was there with them at the time. But most of the time, though, they do the shows local, which is what I really like because your Joe Schmo can get out there and fish there as well.
Yeah, and I like the ones when they do the local shows around here because it's always fun to try to look at the shoreline and figure out where they are, you know. And if you fish a number of the lakes, you can generally figure out where they were fishing, you know. So
well, most in the past, John used to always identify right where he's fishing. Then once he started fishing with some of the more secretive guides, then they'd get a little bit more quiet about it, and you kind of had to look at the background to figure out, you know, where they were at.
Up in northern Wisconsin, you know, some of those lakes that they'll take them on are very small bodies of water. They're small lakes. And the guides up there don't want, you know, people to know what lake they're on because they'll get overrun with people. They'll get a lot of people. I mean,
we've seen it happen
down here.
Even as far as musky fishing up there, there's a lot of small little pothole lakes up there that have big muskies in there. Some of them have not much of a boat landing, if anything. And the guides like to go and sucker fish in the fall and get some nice fish. And when my buddy Troy Woodrow was up there with guides, you know, he pretty much likes to put everything on Facebook all over the place. And he was told by those guides in no uncertain terms there would be none of that because they want to keep their places secret.
Yeah, I fished on a number of those places like that up way up in northern Wisconsin and even in the UP, where the only way to get to some hacked-out launch was a fire lane road, you know, some hacked-out little road where you could just get down and they make an area where you can at least turn your, you know, boat around, turn your car around so you can launch a boat. Yeah, it's not always easy to find, not easy to get to, but it's all well worth it, you know.
And you mentioned a great point there, Tom. If a guy wants to get into some untouched waters, and now I mentioned northern Wisconsin, you go to that UP, and I'm telling you, our buddy Ron Johnson is up there. He's fishing some lakes where it's almost like Canada, where you can jig up 100 walleyes a day. And they're really untouched. So it almost makes it worthwhile for a guy to have a little John boat or a small aluminum boat to get into some of those crappy launches instead of your, you know, $60,000 Ranger where you don't want to bang it up getting it in there if you can get it in there at all.
Exactly right. Well, listen, we got to go to the bottom of the hour break. We're a little past due, folks, but that's okay. We got a couple minutes of commercials coming up, so stay tuned. Dan Bush over there on that side, Tom Neubauer on this side, and Sam Schmitz over there at the station, all alone by his lonesome self. Anyway, we'll be right back with more, folks. Stay tuned.
Born to be wild. Born to be wild.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush along with Tom Neubauer. Hey, we're in the last half hour. It's amazing how fast 2 hours goes. But we've been talking a little bit of ice fishing, Tom. And I mentioned this earlier. I plan on doing some jigging for northern pike with my new ice rod and reel. And if any of our listeners have any experience jigging through the ice for northern pike and have a suggestion on what kind of jig or what I should use, dead bait, live bait, artificial, give us a call, 414-799-1250, or you could email us at ceoguys@yahoo.com. And Tom, I've done a little bit of online investigating, and as far as jigging for pike through the ice, it doesn't look like it's super complicated. Have you ever done any of it at all before?
No.
No.
Never.
Okay. Spoons, just jigging with simple spoons like Arapaima. or even some other different types of spoons, jigging it and letting it flutter down. I've caught open water pike by pausing and letting a spoon flutter on back into the face of a pike. That's good.
I've got to tell you, Danny, what I saw on YouTube was a guy had an underwater camera.
Okay.
And he had a spoon like a daredevil, okay?
Okay.
Smaller daredevil. And it was just hanging in the water vertical. You know, he would jig it a little bit, but just let it hang there. And the pike would come up and suck it in, and it wasn't even moving. But it was different in the water. It was very interesting.
That's interesting because one of the things I saw or read online is that if you take ice fishing, if you take a big hair jig, and it said that sometimes just having it hang like that, even without jigging it, that the pike will sometimes just grab it just like that. Now, apparently, with a hair jig, sometimes the underwater current in the water or whatever can cause that hair to just slightly pulsate, so it looks like it's something alive. I'm thinking maybe a spoon hanging there, if it's on a, if you got a ball bearing swivel or something that it's attached to, maybe it just slowly spins a little bit. I don't know. Interesting to hear that.
I would recommend that you go on YouTube and look for ice fishing northern pike, and that you'll probably find a number of those where they show that. And it is very interesting to see how those northern pike react to those spoons. Sometimes they were grabbing the spoons over live bait, and the spoons were just hanging there, doing nothing.
Right, and that's why, you know, jigging, you know, you can use a hair jig, you can use like a jig head with a minnow tipped on it, a number of different things you can do, and sometimes just having it hang is going to be more of a stealth technique, and sometimes more of an aggressive approach will attract them. But you are right. It's cool to see. I've seen some of those underwater videos there. I think we got a caller right now, Tom.
All right.
All right, let's go to Bob in Luxembourg.
Mr. Garfinkel is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's on your mind, Bob?
I'd like to give a tribute to an old friend that passed away this week, and you both knew him. Dave Otto passed away. He was, in my opinion, one of the top outdoor writers anywhere.
Yeah, he was excellent. Yes. He had been retired for a while.
He what?
Wasn't he retired for a while?
About 20 years.
Yeah, he'd been retired.
But he still did occasional writing. But Dan must have read his articles.
Oh, sure. I remember reading. I mean, you're bringing back an old name, but sure, Dave Otto. I mean, he was a great writer, and I read many of his articles years ago. And so, yeah, that's kind of a name from the past. But yeah, he definitely was well worth reading. And sorry to hear that he passed away.
Well, they never really replaced him. Kevin Nazi did it for a while, and Durkin for a while. But the Green Bay Press Gazette was not interested in investing the money in hunting or fishing. They had no idea the impact that Dave Otto had. I mean, everybody complained about him, but everybody read him.
You know I grew up in Green Bay, of course, and graduated in 76 from Green Bay Preble up there, but I grew up reading Dave Otto in the Green Bay Press Gazette. I remember reading articles about him fishing on the Bay of Green Bay. I remember fishing, you know, everywhere. I mean, the guy, and it was, I believe his articles, I think, now I'm going back in time, I believe it was the Sunday paper, or maybe the Friday. There was one day when I could typically look forward to his articles.
Thursday was the report. Sunday was the feature article.
Correct. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It's a shame that more and more newspapers, I'm thinking, are probably getting away from that. you know, from the outdoor writer. But yeah, having that area report was great.
Yeah, he did a great report, and he always checked in with me and wanted a second opinion. The only problem he had was when everybody wants to know where the fish are biting, but nobody wants their lake featured.
Yeah.
We did 5 Sunday features front page together in color, and they were just great. The only problem is he was a jinx. When you could never count on the weather, even if the weather forecast was good, he'd get to the boat landing and it would start to cloud up and we'd have bad weather. I'd like to say one thing here. He was a champion of the environment. He won many awards for his work with the environment. In fact, I'd like to point one thing out. I was having a problem with the DNR, and there was East Alaska Lake that was filling in, and there was a farmer that was emptying his manure fields in the lake and everything. And I called the DNR many times. One year we had a drought it hadn't rained in weeks and weeks, and there was a liquid coming out of his field, and I couldn't get to first base. I told Dave Otto about it, and he said, "I'll meet you there tomorrow." I showed him the situation. He took pictures, and in Sunday's paper, headlines, front page of the sports page, is East Alaska dying? Monday morning at 8 o'clock, I got a call, and the problem was solved.
The power of print.
The power of the press. And sometimes the DNR has to, you got to kick them like in the butt, like
that
Tom
never
says.
That never works for Tom, but he tries. Yeah.
Well, he's gotta get back working on North Lake.
Oh God, don't! No, did you have to do it, Bob?
Boy, am I!
Yeah, yeah. Did you have to mention the North Lake? No, Bob. Don't do it. Don't stop. Stop. I think we got to go to break. Stop.
Okay.
Maybe you'll forget about it during the break. So,
all right. Bob,
thanks
for calling.
Thanks for the call, Bob.
Take care.
Yeah, bye.
Hey, Danny, I got one quick question for you.
Okay, make it quick.
Where the hell is that launch on North Lake?
Oh, now, when we come back after break, Tom, you're going to love this one because I've got a gripe about a launch. In behalf of my good friend Paul Mihalik. So you got that to look forward to,
which
is nice.
And we'll do that right after this break, folks. So stay tuned. Don't run away.
Welcome back to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. Before we go today, Tom, I got to remember to make a quick announcement. The Waukesha County Conservation Alliance Banquet and raffles will be held Friday, February 4th. It was canceled last year, I believe, due to COVID. It's going to be at Western Lakes Golf Club. Doors open at 5:30, dinner at 7. Now, they've got all kinds of different options if you want to get a table for a bunch of people or whatever. But if you want to get a single ticket, I believe it's $60. And you can actually get the tickets in advance so you don't have to stand in line. So $60. Now, here's the deal. For $60, you support a good cause, and as I recall in previous years, it's a really good dinner. It was excellent. So I was there 2 years ago. So that alone was worth the $60. You're supporting a good cause, And they've also got some fantastic gun raffles where you can buy raffle tickets, and they got all the bucket raffles. And the people I've gone with have gotten a lot of guns over the years. It's always good to win guns. But if you would like to get a ticket or more information about this, you can call our good friend Al Shook. Al can be reached at 414-218-0774, and you can work on getting some tickets and get out there. And if you see me out there, you can buy me a beer, or I can buy you one, I guess. So, yeah, just had to get that in there.
Okay, now you were going to tell us something.
Before
the break, you said you were going to tell us something about, oh, goodness, what the heck was it? But you said you teased it. You said you had something to tell us.
Sam. Oh, I remember now. Okay. Well, first of all, during the break, I got a text from my buddy saying, well, there is a launch on North Lake. Well, I guess that's the small launch, which Tom still doesn't consider a good launch.
It's not a launch. You can't put a regular boat in there.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You put a kayak in there.
Well, yeah. Well, some people like to use small boats, Tom.
Well, yeah, that's fine for them. Not good for you and me.
Well, you and me, we could each buy a pair of matching rubber duckies and put on our flip-flops and shorts and go waddling on down to the lake there someday. So, anyway, the west end of Pewaukee.
Yeah,
September 1st, I believe. I could be off by whatever, but they shut it down there because they were going to redo a bunch of stuff. That's the Nagawicca launch, I believe they call it. And so all of a sudden, there were tons of people launching over here. Well, I was talking to our good friend Paul Mihalik, and he basically has been calling everybody and their brother who's supposedly in charge of that project because nothing is getting done. And from reports, and he's not the only one I've heard about this. It sounds like they may not. If they're not getting it done now, it probably won't be getting done till next spring, and they'll probably have it shut down even longer. So I don't know what the heck the drag on that is, why it's taking a long time, but that seems like government action at its finest.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of, Danny? You brought it up a few years back. It's like you're going down the freeway, and you see all these rubber barrels out, the orange barrels, and these signs saying men working, and there's nobody there. You know?
Yeah.
That's what they're doing out there on that launch on the west end of Pewaukee.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you're not supposed to launch there. And nothing's going on at all.
They got it closed.
Yeah, I don't know, but I thought I'd get that in there because our good friend Paul, he likes to fish late into the season, and I believe he did finally put his boat away for the year as well, much of a diehard as he is. But at this point, I think a lot of people are getting tired of trying to break ice to get on out there.
Yeah, so, I bet you Paul caught a lot of muskies this fall, too.
Well, Paul always catches a lot of fish.
He always does. He knows what he's doing, that's for sure.
Well, and not just muskies. What Paul really specializes in panfish and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
And now, Tom, you're the bass expert. Why don't more people ice fish for bass? Can you tell me that? Why don't you hear more about
first
that?
First of all, I'm not an expert in anything.
Yes, you are.
No.
You're a pretty good cook.
As far as ice fishing for bass, let's put it this way. At first ice, well, even after first ice, if you're fishing a shallow bay and there's weeds in it, chances are there'll be some bass in it. And, you know, they'll hit the minnows on tip-ups just like the pike will. So you basically catch them by accident, okay? I don't know of anybody who actually goes out and targets bass in the wintertime because they can be in so many different places, and it's kind of an accident if you catch one.
Well,
so, yeah.
I'm a dummy. I have no idea. Wouldn't they be suspended in schools in deep water?
Usually they're in deeper water, yes. But if there you got a shallow bay, let's say it's a typical bay where it starts off deeper and it works its way up, and there's weeds in that bay. There's no reason why the bass can't come in that bay and feed on the panfish that are in there, you know, the small bluegills and that, which they do, you know. So you know, bass, you can find them in several different areas in the wintertime, just like northern pike and panfish. You can find those in different areas, you know. So it's basically when you catch a bass on a tip-up, it's usually by accident.
Okay.
Because you're really out there for northern pike with the tip-ups, but sometimes you get a bass. Yeah.
Well, I think nowadays, being as more and more people are going away from using Tiger Shark rigs as far as big heavy wire rigs for pike, a lot of people are going with fluorocarbon, which you can get bit off, but I've had pretty good luck with the 20-pound fluorocarbon. I'm thinking you may be more likely to get bit by a bass with that. As far as with live bait though for bass, years ago I was on a lake where I was fishing for pike, and I'm quite sure they were bass that were grabbing the shiners. But it was interesting, Tom. I'd have a bobber out and the fish would hit, and you'd see the bobber would run off line real quick, and then it would just drop it and the fish would be gone. So, and you'd just see a little bit of scales missing, where it just seemed like those bass weren't as inclined to suck that bait down like the pike was.
Our best success with catching bass by accident in the wintertime was over on Keesis Lake, and we'd have to park by the Back Bay Bar, it was called, and he went down these steps down to the lake, and we'd set up shop down there, and we always caught some bass. As a matter of fact, I know other people who fish there as well, and they would catch bass by accident too. It was just one of those good bays. Matter of fact, in the summertime, it's great, you know, that lake. So,
good tip, Tom. Good tip. I'm going to have to hit that. I mentioned, and I think we got just a minute or two left, but Como, Lake Como years ago, we caught a bunch of small pike, and the guy had caught a 9-pound bass the week before on a shiner. So, I mean, there are opportunities out there, my friends. You just got to get out there and explore, but I guess that's all I got for now.
Yeah, you can't catch a fish if you don't have a lure in the water. So that's all I got too, Danny.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Wacky Walleyes Cutting Edge Outdoors. We'll talk to you all next week, my friends.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.